Welcome back to the Naked Buddha TMFL production. Episode 2 has arrived. I am JFace907. I'm here with my co-hosts, iPinch and Bonsai. How you boys doing?
I'm doing well. Pumped for another episode, man. How you doing?
I cannot complain. Then again, I am sitting 500 right now, looking to be on the outside of the playoff picture after my rough loss to Drew 50. Bonsai, how you doing, buddy?
It's Friday night. First time on the TMFL podcast, so it's pretty good. I won't even talk about my record.
As some of you podcast listeners may know, I have iPinch from PFP Podcast Days and Bonsai from the Baseline Pick and Pop, Pick and Roll, whatever you want to call it. We were the NBA source of information. But let's jump into the TMFL right now. And, you know, Twitter has brought to the world trending. What are the trending topics? And we're going to address the trending topics in the TMFL. And let's first start off with the unbeaten teams. We actually have one of the owners of an unbeaten team with us right now, as well as we have the Detroit Lions, Hova the God MC. He is the other unbeaten squad. Let's first discuss Hova. Let's bring the outside picture in first, and then we'll go into our own unbeaten guy. Bond, what are you seeing that Hova's doing so well right now that's causing this 12-0 record thus far?
I don't know, but I don't like it. he's going to talk too much trash if he goes undefeated. You know what I would love? He plays the Packers next. I would love for Mazler to just beat him down.
What about you, Pinch?
Well, I mean, the thing that jumps out to me is the fact that he's actually running the ball this year. I mean, it was sort of an ongoing joke last year in the TMFL that he didn't have a running game and it didn't really matter, you know? So I think that makes him pretty dangerous, especially off the play action. You know, he's got a couple good receivers, the best in the game. So, you know, looking at his schedule outside of one game, I think he plays the Falcons or the Saints, one of those two tough NFC South guys. Falcons. But outside of that, yeah, Falcons. Outside of that, man, I don't see much standing in the way of a perfect season for him.
Now, you mentioned his receivers. He's actually had a bit of bad luck with those guys. He's had a few of them go down. He's had to make a few free agent acquisitions in the middle of the season. I personally knocked out two of his receivers in our game against each other. Granted, seeing as he's undefeated, I was one of his victims. But still, he has had some injury woes and shooken those off. Let's get into your Giants, Pinch. Give us your explanation as to why you're undefeated thus far.
Well, like I said in the opening podcast, I mean, my goal is to be balanced. And I think, you know, that's the biggest thing going for me outside of, obviously, you know, one of the most talented rosters in the game. I've been running the ball well and throwing the ball well and keeping opposing defenses off balance. So, I mean, combine that with, you know, a really good pass rush, and it's gotten me out of some jams. So I've caught a lot of breaks along the way. So, I mean, just thinking of my game against Fuzzy, you know, he had so many drops that game. I almost started to feel bad for him. Then I realized it was Fuzzy and didn't feel bad at all. So, I mean, you know, I'd sort of like to get your guys' take on how you see my Giants at this point.
Bond, how are you seeing his Giants? I'll get up into my opinion after you, but I want to bounce it off of you first.
I saw him firsthand in week 2, and everything he said he wanted out of his team, he got. He was balanced. Eli was like 80% completion percentage, a couple touchdowns. He had two running backs get over 90 yards, and his entire defensive line was just on top of Freeman the whole game. It was ridiculous. I've never seen a D-line like that in my life.
The thing that stands out in my mind about the Giants is they are 82 points away from having a 300-point differential between points for and points against. That is absolutely insane. I don't know how you're doing it, Pinch. I guess that D-line is just phenomenal. And then you have two great safeties over the top in case, you know, something needs to extend out the player. You just don't get that pressure on the quarterback. But my goodness, man, you're doing a great job. As far as my take on Hova, I know I didn't jump in on there earlier, but I agree with what Pinch said. And as far as his balance, I do love his 1-2 combo, Thunder and Lightning, with LeSure and Javid Best. But let's get into another trending topic right now. And he's not undefeated, but he's won 5 of his last 5 games, oddly enough, coming off a loss to the Giants. That is Johnny Clutch and his San Francisco 49ers. This team is dangerous. I've seen them firsthand, and I will see them again later. And it is, you don't know what to defend. You've got Frank Gore, you've got LaMichael Jenkins, or Lenko James, excuse me, you've got just so many weapons on the field. You've got three receivers you have to keep an eye out on, plus a tight end that's as good as a receiver. This guy's probably going to make the playoffs based off of this second half run that's just been phenomenal for him. Bond, what are you seeing in this Niners squad?
Yeah, I haven't gotten a chance to play him firsthand, but he's just been on a tear lately, reeling off these wins, and he's putting himself in a position to actually win his division, because he's only one game back of the Rams, and they play again, and he's got a couple other teams that haven't been doing so well up on his schedule, so he could take that division.
Pinch, how are you feeling about the Niners?
I think he's looking pretty good. I mean, I had the pleasure of playing him, and if not for a couple unlucky breaks, I think he had two or three fumbles in the first half. It would have been a much closer game. And, you know, like you said, he's just got so many weapons and obviously very, very, very stout defense. And they can attack you from everywhere. And, you know, all three levels, they have superstars on that defense. So, I mean, just based on talent alone, I definitely have them taking the division as well.
Definitely agree with both of you fellas. Now let's jump off the trending topics. Let's play a little game here in the first segment. Let's play what I'm going to call the cheese game. It's been pretty hot in the TMFL, the stat, you know, numbers out there that people are throwing up and what's cheese and what isn't. Well, I'm going to throw some just stats at you. Not going to name a name or anything else. I want you to give me, is it cheese or is it not? And then you get to guess the player. Some of you who look at the numbers may be able to guess these right away, but let's go ahead and jump in the game. Pinch, I'm going to start off with you. 4,270 passing yards, 38 touchdowns, 12 games played. Is this cheese?
I'm saying not cheese. I know there's some staggering numbers, but if you look at the trend of the real-life NFL, I mean, everybody's headed that direction. So, you know, just based on that alone, I'm going to say not cheese.
How about you, Bun?
It's close, but I don't think it is. It is a video game, in fact, but it's borderline, but I'm going to go with not cheese.
All right, Bon, I'm going to give you the first chance to name that player.
Brady?
That is not Tom Brady. Pinch, how about you? Name that player.
Matt Schaub.
Matt Schaub is the correct answer of the Houston Texans. Let's get into the next one. 1,545 rushing yards, 16 touchdowns, and a whopping 7 yards per carry. Let's first jump into, is this cheese, yes or no, Bond?
No, he's just not being stopped. I mean, if you're getting 7 yards per carry, you're just not getting tackled. I don't really know what you're doing, but I wish I was doing it.
Pinch?
You know, I'm going to say not cheese, but it's really hard to get a feel for that unless you see the guy in action. It's very difficult to sort of ascertain what he's doing, what he's bouncing out, what, you know, the breakdown of what plays he's calling. So I'm going to say not cheese, but, you know, upon further review kind of thing.
Name that player then, Pinch.
Maurice Jones-Drew.
2 for 2.
Oh.
Hey, that is Maurice Jones-Drew indeed of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, he has seen two different owners by choice. LSU Truth did leave the Jaguars once he had the chance to take his favorite Miami Dolphins. And let's jump into the third and final one before we take a break. 1,111 receiving yards, 47 catches, 23.6 yards per catch with 11 touchdowns. Who is this man? Let's flip the script here and do the who is this man first. Bond.
Oh, I know. This is Andre Johnson.
That is incorrect.
What?
That is incorrect. Pinch, who is this guy?
I think I got this one. Victor Cruz?
It is not actually Victor Cruz. We finally stumped the panel here. It is actually Julio Jones of the Atlanta Falcons. I didn't know he had this much big play potential in him, but it is our very own guest from last week's show, Ant Cap. It is Julio Jones. Is this cheese, Bond?
No. He played me, and he tore me a new one, but there was nothing cheesy about it.
Steve, Pinch, how about you?
I'm going to say no, too. I'd have to look at his ratings, but I know, you know, just mentioning Cruz, his elusiveness is so high that he breaks that first tackle so many times, and then he's, you know, in the open field. So I'm going to say not cheese.
I must say that I agree with all of you guys. It's not cheese on any of those fronts. I've actually only Actually, you know what? I've never played any of these guys, so I've never seen how they play. I just grab numbers because sometimes, I'll admit, when we get on the forums, some of us, that's all we've done is seen the numbers. We've never seen these guys play. I just figured I'd show the numbers, see what you guys thought, and go from there. But that's going to be a wrap on the first segment. We come back in the second segment, and we're going to bring in our special guest of the week, jump into another game, as well as what's on these teams' Christmas list now that we head into the holiday season. We'll be back right here on the Naked Booth.
Millions of Americans every day are shedding unwanted pounds by taking tested and proven Ultra Lipo Stick. Carbohydrates are bad, bad. Our carbo-fighting antioxidant is good, good. Just listen to these satisfied customers.
My name is Gail, and I lost like 20 pounds on Ultra Lipo Stick.
My name is Jared, and I lost 46 pounds using Ultra Lipo Stick.
My name is Zach, and I actually gained weight. This stuff sucks!
Ultra Lipo Stick is safe and easy to inject. Just 3 doses, 4 times a day, discreetly underneath your fingernail. Listen to this.
I used Ultra Lipo Stick and suffered from side effects like uncontrollable greasy discharge.
Ultra Lipo Stick? It turned the armpits of all of my shirts orange. This stuff is crap.
Try it today and see some real results. Ultra Lipo Stick. Not available in stores. Results may vary.
Segment number 2 of the Naked Boot, a TMFL production. I'm JFace907 with my co-host Bonsai and I Pinch. We're going to bring in our special guest of the week, and it is Gravity, the man that I don't even think he's old enough to drink yet, but yet sounds like he's 80 years old with that deep-ass voice. How you doing today, Gravity?
Pretty good. What's up, guys?
We cannot complain here on the Naked Boot. Now, we're going to feature you and your Houston Texans squad. I'll start off the questioning here with, basically, you were a late addition. You were one of the new guys. You came in and made some noise right away. Was it important to you to get off to a fast start?
Yeah, I mean, coming from NCAA, it was a tough transition. I haven't played Madden online in the league in quite a few years, so I didn't know exactly how good I would be able to transition, but I was pleasantly surprised with the physics engine, and I found passing pretty easily. I still can't run at all, but passing so far has been my go-to offensive scheme, so it seems to be working pretty well.
Pinch, you got any questions for our guest Gravity?
Do you have a shot of Jim Beam stuck in your throat right now?
No.
I guess the only other question I have is, you know, I know earlier this year you had some issues incorporating some other wide receivers into your game plan and were relying a lot on Andre Johnson. Actually took a little flack for it, but have you been able to incorporate, you know, Owen Daniels or Walter, any of those guys with any success?
Yeah, in the past 3 or 4 weeks, Andre Johnson has slowed down a tad. And Owen Daniels has gone over 1,000 yards on the season, and he has 7 touchdowns. And Kevin Walter also has 7 touchdowns. I'm not sure on the yardage for him. But so Andre Johnson has about 1,500 yards right now and 16 touchdowns after this week's game.
Right on. Bonsai, what do you got for our boy, Graf?
I want to know if there's any truth to the rumor that if Andre Johnson gets 2,000 yards receiving, that Sean Mason is going to force you to trade him to the Browns for a 7th-round pick.
I have not been alerted of these rumors, but
I've heard whispers.
No comment.
All right.
No comment from our Texans owner here. Now, Gravity, as we mentioned, we are getting close to the playoffs. What is your outlook on things right now? I heard you say you were 8-4. You just got off of a hot divisional game. What's your mindset right now?
Well, we've just lost 2 straight games to pretty tough opponents. Last week, we lost to Hova by a score. And just this past night, I lost to Azure by a field goal. And that ties up the season series between me and him, one to one, and we both have the same record going down in a final stretch of the year. Right now, the rest of my schedule is pretty tough. That's with guy Phil style, and that can go either way. So right now, I'm hoping to go maybe 10-6, 11-5. That's probably what I'm looking at. Just trying to get into the playoffs, either win the division or in the wild card.
Well, we wish you the best of luck, and we want you to stick around, because right now we're actually going to jump into some fact or fiction. It's I Pinch's favorite part of the podcast. And I Pinch, why don't you go ahead and take the floor for us?
All right, so Gravity Bond, you guys didn't get the opportunity to participate the first time, but it's a pretty simple game. I'll throw out three statements. You just tell me whether it's a fact or it's fiction. And, you know, Mitt Romney might lie and Barack Obama might lie, but numbers don't. And I've got a little statistics to back up these statements. So the first one is, can Joe Flacco lead his team to the Super Bowl? Keep in mind, he's got 25 touchdowns and only 9 interceptions on the season, and he's surpassed 3,100 yards. So, you know, we'll start off with Bond. What do you think, man?
He can, but I don't know if he will. I mean, there's a lot of competition out there. So he has the ability, but I don't think it's going to happen this year.
What about you, Gravy?
You know, I think he can as well. I played the Ravens, and they're very, very safe in their offense. But like Bond said, the AFC is really competitive. Not one team has really taken the entire conference like they have in the NFC. And I think if he can just continue to play safe and his defense can hold up, then, you know, he has just as good a chance as anybody.
Justin?
I'm going to straight out say fiction. I think, as these guys have said, the AFC is just too tough, plain and simple.
Okay. Well, that's a good segue into my second question here. Is the AFC inferior to the NFC? Keep in mind that only one team has less than 4 losses. You know, meanwhile, we have 2 undefeated teams in the NFC and arguably the best division in the NFC South. So, Justin, we'll shoot it right back to you. What do you think, man?
Let's see. I'm actually going to say fiction as well, based on overall mold, overall build. Except with you take out the actually, you know what? I'm gonna change my answer, because I just remembered one division, the AFC West. That nullifies everything right there. That makes the NFC the superior conference. So, fact, NFC superior. I don't even need to say anymore. AFC West exists in this world. NFC superior.
Grab, your thoughts, man?
This is a tough one, because I'm a little biased, because I think my division's pretty good. With that being said, I'm going to have to go with fact. You know, with the NFC, you have 2 teams that are undefeated. And in the AFC, it just seems like everybody, it doesn't really matter what your record is, you know, going into each week. Anybody can lose. And although that is competitive, it does tarnish the, overall appearance of the conference.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Bond, you have the unique situation of being able to witness the best division in football, you know, probably more than you'd like, you know, firsthand.
Yeah, I have witnessed that, and that is a fact. The NFC is stronger overall. The biggest thing is you've got 2 AFC division leaders right now in Buffalo and Kansas City that wouldn't be sniffing a wild card spot in the NFC right now. That tells me the whole story right there.
Yeah, very true. All right, the last question I got for you guys. The Cowboys will make the playoffs. Keep in mind, they're 5-6 now. They're riding a 4-game win streak, and their remaining schedule is Philadelphia, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, New Orleans, and Washington. Bond, we'll shoot it right back to you, man.
Fiction. They're not going to make it. They've got they are riding a streak, but there's too many teams in front of them that I think Carolina's not in it right now, and they could go in. Minnesota could get hot, and I really don't see San Francisco and Atlanta coming out of there. So I just don't think, even if they do stay hot, I don't think it'll be enough. I think they dug too big of a hole
yeah,
in the beginning.
I know. I mean, Saul's a great player, but he's got to win out, and that's a tough schedule. I mean, Pittsburgh and New Orleans, two tough games. Grab, what do you think, man?
I'm going to go with Fiction as well. It's a really, really tough road ahead. But, I mean, you know, crazier things have happened. And I know Sai is a good player, but I think he's just not going to be able to hold up in the long run.
Absolutely. Justin, you know Sal pretty well from PFP and being in the same division in the same conference in that league. So, yeah, I'm interested to hear what you think.
Yeah, he mops the floor with me in PFP and NCAA, but I got the chance to get my revenge in Madden, and I did in a what started out as a blowout but ended as a close game. Sal's a great player, great guy, but ultimately he will fall short. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if it is just by a single game. So for right now, I just got to say Fiction.
All right, sounds good. Well, that wraps up this edition of Factor Fiction.
All right, and as you guys know, we're in week 13, currently heading into week 14. Week 12 just so happened to be Thanksgiving week, and with the end of Thanksgiving comes the beginning of Christmas time, my favorite time of year. So we have four team owners here on our panel, and as I mentioned, it's Christmas season, so what's number one on our Christmas list? I'm going to start off with the New York Giants, and I pinch. What is on your Christmas list this season?
I hope Santa brings my team some raw meat and a string so I can dangle it over opposing quarterbacks and keep my pass rush consistent. Like Bond said, in my game versus him, they were crazy, crazy tough. But, you know, they've fallen asleep some games. And, you know, first game that comes to mind is Carolina. They generated zero pressure. So, yeah, some raw meat and a string. And, you know, hopefully that'll fire up JPP and Tuck and get them hungry.
I like that. That sounds pretty good. Grav, what's on the Houston Texans wish list this year?
I need some Kleenex because my team can't stop a nosebleed. Our pass rush is pretty good, but when it's not on, our pass defense is we're looking the wrong way the whole time. So I need some tissue to stop the nosebleed.
Bonsai, what do the Buccaneers need?
Santa needs to bring us some more cheerleaders, because the fans are getting bored with watching my punter get a lot of reps during the games, and they need something else to look at. So we're going to need about another whole set of cheerleaders.
Oh, man. Well, as far as the Seahawks go, here in Anchorage, Alaska, as you guys know where I reside, we go dip netting, which is just this big old net where we just put it out there and catch fish. That's what the Seattle Seahawks need. They need a gigantic dip net because right now their hands just ain't doing the job catching the football. We are dropping the ball an insane amount. Terrell Owens, Braylon Edwards, Sidney Rice, Kellen Winslow, and even the backs out of the backfield, Marshawn Lynch and company, they just can't catch anything to save their lives. So a dip net for the Seattle Seahawks. And boys, I wish you guys all a Merry Christmas in at TMFL land, as you know, in real life calendar. We're not quite there yet, but hopefully Santa brings you all that you're wishing for. As far as the show, we actually got to take another commercial break, but once we come back, we have everybody's favorite segment, Buckeyes Picks. We've got a new game, Contender or Pretender, and then we are going to unveil the overall playoff picture. What do these teams need to do to clinch? Who's currently sitting on top of the division? And what matchups would we be looking at right now if the season ended today? I'm JFace907. This is The Naked Boot. We'll be right back.
You probably already know how to manage your money, and that's great, but do you know how to massage your money? How in the poop are you anyway? I'm Walter Wintz, creator of the Money Massage System. By using my proven system, I've been helping people just like you become financially limber.
Since I started using Money Massage, my money is actually more pliable.
I started using the system and, you know, I haven't actually measured my money, but it does look bigger.
Are you upside down and backwards in a mortgage? The Money Massage System is here to help.
My friends used to come to me for financial advice, and now they come to me to cry on my shoulder, and I will give them a dollar to blow their nose on.
Don't wait another minute. Call today and start your path to financial fluffiness.
Welcome back back to the Naked Boot, a TMFL production. We're in segment three. I'm JFace907 with my co-hosts, I Pinch and Bonsai. We have special guests this week, Gravity. And it's that time of the show where last ratings report came in. The most opportune time you want to reach through your radio and choke the on-air talent. It's time for Bakai's Picks, Week 14 edition. We've brought in Nick Bakai once again, and you have the stage, my man. Take the floor. It is yours.
Well, I don't know if it was the radio listeners that wanted to choke me so much as the bookies because, well, I don't think anyone paid attention to my record, so I'm saying I went 5-0. And if I'm going 5-0, I'm costing those bookies a lot of money. So I'm only going with four games this week just to kind of, you know, keep everyone a little bit happier and get the heat off my back. First, we're going to start off with what I view as the game of the week, even though it's not necessarily between the teams with the best records. It has mammoth playoff ramifications as well as divisional implications. We're looking at Carolina at Atlanta. Atlanta, coming off, they've still got that tie on their record, which is like kissing their sister, which, you know, they tied with Washington. So kissing an Indian sister, kind of. I'm not really sure how that works. I don't know. Falcons, I don't know how they relate. But anyway, they've got that tie with Washington. I think that's going to actually come back to help them because that doesn't count as a loss in the standings. New Orleans is free-falling. I don't know what happened to them, but ever since they escaped San Diego, they've been kind of playing it close to the vest, and they've just fallen off the map since then. Carolina, Fuzzy's got this team running under the radar a bit, and they're right in the hunt for a playoff spot, but it's always tough to go into the Georgia Dome. I am taking Atlanta by 10 over Carolina. Now, speaking of New Orleans, they've got another huge game this week against the undefeated New York football Giants. Why do they include football in there anyway? I think we get it. It's the NFL. But New Orleans needs this win. They're only half a game ahead of the Falcons at this point. If they lose this game, they risk falling back into the wild card. And if they keep falling out, they can fall out of this wild card picture as it's starting to tighten up around that fifth and sixth wild card spot. New York, they have a lot to play for still. They're playing for home field advantage, and Detroit being undefeated as well is going to force the Giants to keep playing their starters, keep playing full force. Even though this game takes place in New Orleans, I expect the Giants to come out with a big win. Unless their coach can turn right this ship, New Orleans is in deep trouble. I'm picking the Giants by 20. My third game, we're going back to another team that's starting to fall in the wrong direction. I'm looking at Cincinnati. Tempe, how in the hell did you lose to Cheese? He is one of the worst coaches in this dynasty. He has San Diego at 2-10. This is not a game a playoff team can lose. Now Cincinnati finds himself heading into Dallas. Dallas scratching and clawing. They're currently 5-6, trying to get into that last wild card slot. They have a lot to play for. Cincinnati, you've got a lot to play for too, but you're playing a guy in Salamoff who runs a very similar style offense to what you just saw in San Diego, except for Dallas is better. I'm taking Dallas by 7, and Cincinnati's going to have to come down to the wire to turn this right their own ship around and find their way into the playoffs. Lastly, I have Cleveland and Cincinnati. Now, we all know the problems that Sean's having at Cleveland. Brandon Whedon. But he does have one thing working for him. Cleveland is not Kansas City. God hates Kansas City. And if any of you have ever been to Kansas City, you know I'm right. Therefore, I am taking Cleveland in the upset at Kansas City. Cleveland by 7.
Nick Bakai, before we let you go, I want to ask you one question only. Do we have a perfect season this year in the TMFL?
We not only have one perfect season, we have two. Both Detroit and New York will finish 16-0.
So I Pinch, Nick Bakai has given you the celebrity endorsement. How do you feel about him saying you will go undefeated?
You know, unless he's got Sabrina the Teenage Witch casting some sort of spell on me. I'm not feeling too good about it. I think there's a lot of pressure on our ball club right now and a tough, tough schedule coming up. So it doesn't mean that much to me until I hear from Sabrina.
Well, he also put the hex on the Lions as well, saying Hova will have an undefeated regular season. Who knows, maybe come NFC championship time, somebody's going to go home with a loss. But let's get into contender or pretender. I've got four teams that I've picked out, and I want you guys to tell me whether or not they are a contender or a pretender. Let's first start off right now with Matrix Monkey and his St. Louis Rams. Bond, are they a contender or a pretender?
I'm going to call them a contender, and only because they still have the Bills, the Bucks on their schedule. They do have the Niners, so they're halfway. Let me change it to that. They're not going to win their division like they're sitting right now, but they'll still end up with a wild card. So they are a contender for the playoffs.
And that's why they're on this list right now, is because, yes, they are sitting on top of the division. They have for most of the season, but the Lions have just caught fire, and who knows how this is going to end. It could be a two-game lead that the Niners have on the Rams by the time the season's over. Peach, are the Rams a contender or a pretender?
I'm going to say they're a contender, just based on the fact that I think Matrix has some really good stick skills. You know, I've played them a lot in the past, so... despite the fact that Chris Long got busted for PEDs and will be sitting out the remainder of the season, I think they have enough talent on that defense. It's an underrated defense for sure, but I'm going to say contender.
I'm going to say contender as well, simply based on the hot start that they got. As far as for a deep run, I'm not too sure about that. But let's move on to the next team. Bonsai actually brought these guys up, the Bills. Are they a contender or a pretender? Currently, we'll paint a picture right now. Currently, they are at 6-6 on top of the division. But, Pinch, are these guys a pretender or were they a contender? What are they doing?
Get the hell out of here, man. It's Keller. Absolutely pretender all day.
Not even based off of the week schedule?
And yeah, I'm not even justifying my response. He only gets limited airtime here. Pretender.
Bonsai, how you feeling?
I mean, can a pretender still win a division and make the playoffs? Because that's what's going to happen. he may have a losing record and win his division, but if you don't have a winning record, you're a pretender. So I don't care. Even you should have you win the division, but you're not allowed to go in the playoffs.
I say these guys are a pretender. I say just something fluky may happen here. Maybe the Jets will catch fire and overtake them in the division, but complete pretender in my mind, and not just because it's Keller, but just because of the roster and because of the record, 6-6. It's not sexy at all. Let's jump into now back over in the NFC, where we've got a guy who was a little woe is me because of his slow start, and now he is actually doing very well. 7 straight to my count, if I'm correct here. The Carolina Panthers and Fuzzy Logic. Contender or pretender, Bonsai?
He's definitely a contender. When you win 7 straight, you're definitely contending. But he does have Falcons and Saints left, so... He's going to contend. I don't know if he's going to get in the playoffs, but he's going to contend for it. So he's a contender.
Pinch, how are you feeling about the Panthers?
Definitely a contender. As much as Fuzzy likes to say otherwise, they do have a very good roster, in my opinion, and he's a very good player. So I think he's going to play spoiler to either the Saints or the Falcons, and I would guarantee he gets into the playoffs.
Now, the Saints are currently sitting on a 2-game losing streak, which has opened the door to the Panthers. They're currently just a game behind. So, in my mind, the Panthers are a contender as well. The only thing that may actually hurt him is if the Saints catch back on fire and then the Falcons have that tie. It's not a loss in standings. Granted, it's not a win either, but it keeps the Falcons ahead of the Panthers for the time being. So I'm going to go with a contender right now for the Panthers. And let's wrap this up with a guy that we actually hopped a lot of praise on in the first episode, but now we actually get to see him in a bigger scope. Tampa Goose and his Cincinnati Bengals. I'll actually start this one off by saying right away, pretender. I'm actually going to flip the script here on this one from what we were saying in the first episode. Call me a flip-flopper, whatever. But he actually is at a -2 point differential right now with that 8-4 record. And he's got the Steelers and the Ravens in his division. And I'm just, it's going to be tough. I know the AFC is weak, and the AFC North probably will be sending three teams, but I just don't see the Bengals being able to make a deep run or really do much right now at this point. Peach, how you feeling?
I'm going to say contender for sure. I played the Bengals, and firsthand I can tell you he's a better player than he leads you to believe. And if not for some unlucky breaks, some fumbles, a lot of drops against me, he would have really given me a tough game. So I'm going to say contender.
Bonsai, how do you feel about the Bengals?
Goose is my boy, but I think they're pretenders. He's coming off. He's got a loss to the Chargers here recently, and I think that's just going to get in his head a little bit. And his last two games are against the Steelers and Ravens, so that's not pretty. He's a pretender.
Yeah, definitely that strength of schedule comes back to bite him at the end with those two tough games. And as I mentioned, I'm going to come back to it. 8-4, but a -2 point differential. I know we see baseball teams do it a lot, you know, with a run differential that is in the negatives and still be a good team, good playoff team. But in football, I just don't see that ever being a successful formula whatsoever. But let's jump in now, as we've done the contender and pretender, to the overall playoff pictures. Currently sitting on top of your divisions are the Baltimore Ravens, the Houston Texans, even though they do have a tie with the Titans there, the Buffalo Bills, as we just mentioned, and the Kansas City Chiefs. We flop over to the NFC. We have the Detroit Lions, the New Orleans Saints, the New York Football Giants, and lastly, the St. Louis Rams. This is a squad. This is a crew of great teams that all of them are relatively comfortable. Those ties, if someone falls out of the tie, they may just as easily fall into the wild card. But is there going to be any movement here in terms of teams currently in spots 7, 8, 9 jumping up over these guys, Bond?
Carolina could take one. Yeah, that's kind of a crapshoot if they get in, or maybe Atlanta. But other than that, Pittsburgh could get in. That's about the only two I could see.
Pinch, how are you feeling about the playoff picture thus far?
I think there could definitely be some movement in the AFC East and West. And, you know, just as far as the wild cards are concerned, you know, we talk about Josh just picking up the Jacksonville Jaguars. We all know how good of a player he is. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he turned that team around and snuck into the playoffs.
Jaguars currently are sitting at 6-6, two games behind the two division leaders tied atop the AFC South in the Texans and Titans. And let's jump into some playoff matchups right now. As we know in the AFC, the NFC, if the season were to end today, the Lions and Giants right there, you're 1-2 seed, no questions asked. In fact, the Giants have already clinched their division. But we're looking at a 3-6 matchup of the Saints and Falcons at this point. Right off the bat, a division rival matchup that's going to be hard-hitting and all. Whew, I mean, it's going to be a bloodbath in all reality there. How are you guys seeing this panning out? Or actually, is it going to be – let me take that back. Would it be the Saints and Falcons, or would we still – because I'm trying to think of tiebreakers in the NFL right now. Correct me if I'm wrong. Someone jump in here.
I wasn't sure if the Rams or the 5 or the 6 at this point.
I believe the Rams, simply because they're division winners, you know, would jump up to the 4.
We do have late breaking news. The Rams just lost to the 49ers.
Oh, the Rams just lost to the 49ers. So that jumps the 49ers to the division lead based on tiebreaker, because I do believe that makes the Niners 2-0 against the Rams this year. So that puts a little bit different spin on it. So let's jump right into that now that we got some breaking news. Does this pretty much cement Johnny Clutch and his Niners the division title, Bond?
I think so. With that, and not only just, you know, beating that and getting the tiebreaker now, I think he's just going to keep winning.
Pinch, how about you? The final score in that one was 18-17. Does that pretty much cement the NFC West for the Niners?
Yeah, you know, where's Lee Corso when I need him? I need a not-so-fast, my friend. I'm a believer in the Rams and Matrix, and I'm not sure Johnny Clutch is consistent enough at this point to pull it off and, you know, keep the Rams off their heels.
Well, I don't know if you can argue consistency when you win six straight. Granted, he did start this winning streak with a 1-3 record, or excuse me, 2-3 record. But hey, who knows? We've seen crazier things, and that is late breaking news in the Naked Boot. Let's wrap this up here. I know we kind of strayed off from the playoff picture, but let's make fun of some folks in the playoff picture here. Let's go on to the AFC West. Is someone seriously going to win this division with a below 500 record pinch?
I think the winner of this division is going to be 7-9, unfortunately. I'm just hoping it's not Barron at this point. You know, he'll run his mouth all day long. But, yeah, what can I say? They are just incredibly weak. It's a shame, but, you know, like Vaughn said, I wish they didn't get playoff spots for division winners under 500. That's how I see it.
Now, we did have a division winner below 500 in the NFL not too long ago, and they actually won a playoff game. Can the AFC winner seriously do this, Bonsai?
Not here. No, that was different. That was Seattle going out to Seattle. This is TMFL. They've already got all these losses. What Dennis Green say? They are who we thought they are. They are. They have losing records. They're not going to win a playoff game.
Who knows, though? It's the TMFL, and it's Madden 13, where we have come to find out that really anything can happen each time we pick up the joysticks. Hell, I've got Drew 50 talking about how he sucks at Madden, and he comes out and kicks my butt 10 ways to Sunday. So who knows what could happen on any given day we pick up these controllers. But that's going to be a wrap on the Naked Boot for this episode. We're going to come back to you starting in the playoffs, round one. We're going to break down those playoff matchups. We're going to give you a preview, bring back Nick Bakai for his final picks of the season, maybe play a couple more games. For Bonsai, for I Pinch, for Gravity, I'm JFace907. This has been the Naked Boot, a TMFL Productions.